Check, check. Test, test. All right, we're continuing on in this book of 1 Corinthians, and remember that most of this book was written in answers to questions that came from the people in the city of Corinth. And last week we looked at marriage and its relationships. I trust that it was a blessing to you. I know it was to me, and I'm a better husband this week because of it. Anyway, you have to ask Heather if that's true. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, there's another question that rose up in the church. They didn't quite know what to do with this. And I'll explain some of the background of it if we read a little bit of it. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. We all have knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. But love builds up or edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yet as he ought to know. There's some pretty sobering words there in those first few sentences. Could stop and pause and think about that for a little while. A lot of people think they know a lot of stuff, but he says, you know, there's a great truths that are given here. I want to pause on those for a few minutes. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Yes, therefore, and then he goes on to speak about things, eating things offered to idols. But I want to pause for a few minutes and just think about these words for a few moments. Now, I want to give you a little background picture to understand what they mean when they're saying eating food that was offered to idols. In these cities, like Corinth, there were temples to different gods all over the city. And people would worship at this temple, and they would worship at this temple, and some of them had their favorite gods. There would be many different gods, right? And so they'd have their favorites, and then they would have the ones that they would go with their buddies to. So it was actually one of the great centers of getting together was at the temples, right? It was the common place where people would meet. And so for the Christian, all of a sudden, they're told there's only the one God. Now, nobody minded you coming up with a new God and worshiping that one. But what they did mind is when you would say, no, all those other gods aren't gods. There's only the one God. And there's only one God and creator of all things. And he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the savior of the world. And we cannot worship any other God but the true God. Now that would cause trouble. And it really did cause trouble. Many of the Christians in the end, many of them were put to death because the emperor himself was a god. In the Roman culture, and if you didn't swear allegiance to the emperor and declare that he was God, then you could be put to death for it. So it wasn't an easy thing to make the decision to become a believer in Jesus Christ. And in the world, some places, yeah. And still today, it's still not an easy thing. There are cultures today where even sometimes if a Muslim converts to Christianity, then they have a right to kill him. The family has a right to put him to death. Hindus, very strong Hindu faiths, the same thing. If you say you're a Christian, they don't mind that. But when you get baptized, which is a way of declaring that I'm a Christian in public, then all bets are off. You can poison him. You can do whatever you want to get rid of him out of the family. So there's a cost sometimes to following Christ. And there would have been a cost even in Corinth here. Because the temples were the center, like I said, they were the center of entertainment, they were the center of worship, they were the centers where they got together. Now, all these temples had to survive somehow. And one of the ways that they survived was that people brought offerings to the temple. And they expected people to bring their offerings to the temple, to make sacrifices. Now, most of these offerings and sacrifices were made up of food. So they would bring their food to the temple. All the farmers and the local people who had produce would bring it, and that would be their offering to the temples, to the priests of the temple. Now, the priests would eat the food, but they couldn't eat all that was given. So what they would do is they would have feasts in the temple. And when they would have feasts in the temple, people would come. First of all, they would get the food for nothing, and then they would charge the people to come and eat it. It was another way that they could worship by coming and eating. And as they would eat, they would be paying for that, and that would make more money for the people in the temple, right? It was a religious system where it was designed to get in as much as they could from the people. So then, not only that, but then there was actually would be food left over from that, and they would sell that in the marketplace. Okay, so The question that rose that they sent to the Paul, and they wanted to know, what should we do about food that was sacrificed to idols? Should Christians go to the pagan temples and eat the food? Or should they not? Or should they even buy that food if it's sold in the marketplace because it was used for pagan worship? That was their question. Okay, so we'll look for the answer, and then we want to think about, is there any practical lesson for us today? Because basically today, you know, you don't have the same system going on, but let's have a look and see. Probably, yes. In India, it would still be very prevalent. They have a million gods there and temples for almost every one of them. So, yeah. So what he says, now concerning things offered to idols, he says this, we know we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And you might say, where's he going with this? Well, the place that he's going with this is some people were struggling. They had been involved with these temple worships all their life. Do you think it was easy to get out of it? Their whole families would have been involved with it. All their friends would have been involved with it. And to cut themselves off from all of that was not an easy thing to do. It would have been very difficult. So, here's somebody who's struggling with this and actually struggling with the whole idea of false idol worship and everything that comes with it. It's part of their culture. It's been part of their life forever. And suddenly, they find Jesus Christ, they discover their faith in Christ, and they realize, I cannot worship idols any longer. I cannot have anything to do with this stuff anymore. And they're having a struggle with it, but they're moving away from it as best they can. Another person comes along, and they don't feel like, anything. Well, it's just food. There's nothing wrong with the food. It doesn't matter who put it where, as long as it's well-cooked and not poison, I'm going to eat it. And in truth, is it just food?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's just food. Okay, so yeah, I mean, all right, so it's just food. So they're saying, I don't care, I don't believe in the idol, I'm just going to go and have a meal. And in one sense, it's true, the idol is nothing. Is it nothing?
No.
In one sense? In one sense, it's nothing. All it is a piece of wood that people are worshiping or whatever, a stone or whatever it is. So I'm going to go and I'm going to have the meal. I don't care. And in one sense, they're not wrong. But in another sense, what are they responsible for?
Well, worshiping many idols. So we just teaching
them. Well, they're displaying the Christianity. Like they're saying that they're God's child, but they're still going there, participating, and they're eating it.
Okay.
So
there's a bad example involved,
yeah.
Right? So not only is there's a bad example there, but there's also the bad example to the person who's struggling with it, right? That's right. So then the other person goes and they get tangled back into the system again. They get dragged down by it. And so the idea that comes up here is the idea, listen, you may know more than the other person. You may even have a greater faith about it. You're actually going to let that guy in? Really? You're letting him in? You may have faith to know that, look, it doesn't matter about this meat to idols or anything like that. It's just food and I'm eating it. I don't care what anybody else says. I can get it for half the price there than I can get it down to the supermarket, so I'm going for it, right? However, if you cause trouble or cause another person to stumble and fall, is it worth it? No, your knowledge might be okay, but knowledge can puff up, but it's love that builds other people up. So the principle is that Paul's bringing to them is saying, you need to be thinking about loving other people. You need to make sure that you're not offending other people for nothing. If anybody knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. He's saying, you need to stop and think about how much you think you know. Because there were people who were boasting about the fact that I can go to the idol's temple and I can get all the food I want and I can get a lot cheaper than the marketplace, so why wouldn't I do that? But in the meantime, other people were agonizing over this thing and feeling like, oh no, this is wrong because this meat was offered in sacrifice to idols. But what Paul says here, this is what you want to know. You want to know God and you want to love God. Put God first in your heart. There was a controversy in the church. Some were saying, you can't do this. And some were saying, oh, yes, I can. And they were having an argument over this. And Paul writes and he says, listen, it's not that. That's not the issue here. The issue is to make sure that whatever you do builds up other people. Whatever you do brings, you know, people into a better place. You know, let's put it in a modern context. Let's say I'm a Christian. And because I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ. Does that mean I can never have a drink? No, the Bible doesn't condemn having a drink. It doesn't say it's wrong. But it does condemn getting drunk. Okay? So, I can have a drink if I want to. But let's say I feel pretty arrogant about that. And I want everybody to know, listen, I can have a drink whenever I want to. And I can go to the bars whenever I want to. Because I'm a Christian. And it doesn't matter. I'm okay. But then I've got friends who are alcoholics who are struggling with alcohol, right? So I invite them over to come for a meal. And I know that they can't drink, but I can drink. See, I'm a Christian, I can drink, and it doesn't bother me. So I suck back beer in their presence. Am I being gracious? Am I being kind? Am I caring for that other person? Absolutely not. So there's a modern context to this as well, that there are things that may not be wrong, but they are wrong for some people. But I need to be gracious enough not to taunt or not to put that in their face. Pardon me? You're leading other people to fall. And that is what's wrong. The Bible makes this clear. You might be free to do things, but you may not be wise to do them. It's better to do something to help other people than to tear other people down or to lead them astray. So this is the sensitivity that Paul is writing to them about, because here's what he says. We concerning eating things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there's no other God but one. There's only the one God. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, and the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are all things, and through whom we live. There's only the one God. He says, we know this. However, there's not in everyone that knowledge. For some with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So it is not only the believer who struggles with this, but then there's the example for other people who are still going and worshiping at the idol's temple, right? Yes. They're there. They're going. They think that this is going to win them favor with the gods by going there and eating. Just like some of those idols' temples were places of prostitution, and they were told that you go there and you get involved in prostitution, and that's how you worship your god. Well, they had lots of people that came to worship. Yeah. They did. They did. However, what he's saying here is that, listen, you can't do this. If you go there, you're going to be encouraging people to go in the wrong direction in their life. People who are being defiled because they are worshiping false gods, they're worshiping idols. So he says, you're going to be destroying other people by being a bad example. Make sense so far? But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we better, or if we don't eat, we're not the worse. Food is not going to make a difference in terms of us with God, but how we treat other people is going to make a difference. But watch out, beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. You don't want to put a stumbling block in somebody else's way. You don't want to cause them to fall. For if anyone sees you who have not knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And so here's somebody that's struggling with this and trying to get away from that very lifestyle, and yet they see you doing it, so they say, well, I guess maybe it's okay, but in their heart they don't feel right about it, and they're struggling, and they could be drawn into the idol worship again. Because I'm going to read something that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that's important to understand. And I'll get there in a few minutes. Because he says this, and because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Are you going to cause them to sin? When you thus sin against the brothers and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So even though you're at liberty to eat that meat, because the meat is the meat, it doesn't matter if it was offered to sacrifice to idols, but you shouldn't do it if it's going to cause somebody else to stumble and fall, because when you do that, you're sinning against Christ. See that? You follow the train so far? So there are things that we need to avoid if it's going to cause other people to grieve. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I'll never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Now, he's not saying he wouldn't eat meat again, but he's saying, he's making it clear, if this situation is going to cause my brother to stumble, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I personally made a conscious decision. I think that I could probably have a beer and it wouldn't bother me. I was more of a drug addict than an alcoholic. But I personally made a decision that I would never take another beer, never take a drink of alcohol again. Now, the reason why I do that is so that I can be an example to so many people who struggle so bad with booze in our culture and society. I did it for the sake of others. Not that I'm craving to have a beer, but I did it so that others would have an example. They could ask me the question, well, you have a beer, don't you? I said, no, I don't even touch it. I don't want it. And I really don't, because I have something better in my life. That's not saying that it's wrong for any of you to have one. But it would be wrong to taunt it or to bring it into the presence of those who struggle with alcohol. It really would be. And I'm using that as one illustration. There could be other things that people would struggle with that we need to be very careful about. So, my brothers, now I'm jumping from chapter 9 to chapter 10. The reason why I'm doing that, and we're going to go back to chapter 9 probably next week and look at the Apostle Paul, and he's actually talking about causing others to stumble in chapter 9 as well, but in a little different theme, so we'll go back to that. We have a couple of more sermons to do in there, but this follows the same theme, so that's why I jumped over here. In chapter 10, it says this, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10:14. I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. He says, don't have anything to do with idolatry. Stay away from it. Now, when he says flee from idolatry, I want you to stop and think about it. Now, we don't have so much idols, temples everywhere, in one sense, the spiritual ones. But let me tell you, there are idols, temples all around us. There are. Now, the Bible says that covetousness or greed is idolatry. You got it? That's what the Word of God says. Colossians chapter 3 says covetousness is idolatry. So, where greed is the driving force, there's idol worship happening there. Now, I will venture to say this. Now, some people might take me behind the bar and shoot me for this, but chase the ace, bingos, and all these kinds of things, there's idolatry going on. There really is. The worship of the dollar, to the point of where I know many people who throw away all they have. Kids who suffer, people who are spending money they don't have to try and hit the big one instead of going out and buying the groceries that they need. And I've seen that. I've seen that gambling spirit. I experienced the gambling spirit in my life once, and it was enough to scare me to bits. It is a terrible addiction, and many people are chasing that addiction. And so we need to be very careful in these things, because he says to flee from that. Flee from that. Idolatry is anything that you put in your life ahead of God, where it becomes your driving force, whatever it is. Listen, playing golf can be idolatry. Playing music can be idolatry. If that consumes your whole life, fishing can be idolatry. Hunting can be idolatry. Knitting can be idolatry. Anything can become an idol in your life if it consumes you and if it's everything to you. Yes, even bass fishing can be idolatry. You don't have to worry. I haven't had much chance to do that. Put Christ first in your hearts. Is there anything wrong with going fishing? No, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. But if it consumes your life, and sometimes you see it consuming people's lives to the exclusion of their family, they leave their family behind just to chase a little white ball around a field, or they leave their family behind to go hunting or to go fishing. And I don't mean that they go every once in a while, but I mean it becomes their very life and their family doesn't matter anymore. What matters is this. So, he says, flee from idolatry, run from it. Put Jesus first in your heart. And when you do, you will still enjoy going doing these other things, but you'll do them with a right heart. And I'll tell you, you'll get a lot more enjoyment out of them as you walk with God. And then he speaks here about specifically the idols, temples of that day. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For though we are many, we are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Look at Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what's offered to an idol is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. So now he's getting pretty specific, isn't he? Not only is he saying, listen, don't do this for the sake of your brother, but don't do it for your own sake, because there are demons involved, that they are worshiping the devil. They don't understand it. They don't know it. They think that it's a benevolent God or whatever, the God that they have created in their own mind. But he says, you cannot partake of both. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Listen, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify or build other people up. Let no one seek his own, but each the other's well-being. Now, so he deals with going to the idol's temple. He says, listen, just don't do it. Don't cause somebody else to stumble or fall. Be sensitive to that. And I can tell you, it's a good rule to live by. Just because you have the liberty, just don't go and do it. But when it came to the idol's temple, he says, I think you better stay away. Pretty clearly, he gives that instruction. But then he says this, eat whatever is sold in the meat market and don't ask any questions for conscience sake. So when I go down to the meat market and there's a whole pile of meat there, I don't have to go around saying, was this chicken come from the idol's temple? Was this from there? Was this? You don't have to do that, he said. Just whatever sold in the marketplace, you don't know where it came from. There's nothing wrong with the food. There never was anything wrong with the food. It's not going to affect the food any. He just said, don't ask questions for conscience sake. You don't have to ask questions to find out where it came from at that point. Just go ahead, buy the food, eat the food. For the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness. All the food came from God. It's his. Give him thanks for it and partake of it. Specifically then, he's telling them, don't go to the idol's temple. But if the idol's temple is selling meat in the marketplace and you don't know where it came from, don't even worry about it. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you and don't ask questions for conscience sake. Oh, Jack invited me for dinner, so I go for dinner. Oh, I better ask him if he got it from the idol's temple or not. No, he says, don't bother with that. It's not the food that the problem is. It's the worshiping of the false gods where the real problem is. Make sense so far? If anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, well, then don't eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. So again, it's if you know what it is, leave it be. If it isn't, fine. Go ahead and take of it. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food of which I give thanks? So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so he's saying here, don't cause other people to fall into sin. He says, if somebody invited you to dinner and they went to the idol's temple and they get the food and they say, oh, no, this is all sacrificed to demons, to idols. Say, no, I can't partake of that. I don't want anything to do with idolatry. I want to walk the right path. So you're speaking to that person saying idol worship is wrong by doing that. By partaking of it, you're saying idol worship is okay. Because that's part of this, of the worship, is going and buying that food. So does it make sense? This is what he's saying. But if you buy it in the marketplace, you don't know where it came from, go ahead. And so he says, whether you eat or whether you drink, and whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God. Do it for God's glory. Don't give offense either to the Jew, the Greek, or to the church of God. Don't go out to deliberately offend people. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. There are bigger things that are much more important. The salvation of sinners is more important than you having your way. You don't have to have your way. We can let that go if we're going to be a blessing to others. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, it goes on with very similar theme. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one person believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Those are the vegetarians. So he says, some people actually think it's wrong to eat meat, right? So would you invite a vegetarian over, you know, cook a big steak dinner and plunk it down in front of him? Huh? Would you do that? No, of course you shouldn't do that. But, you know, some people might do that and think, you know, well, what's the matter with you, buddy? Why don't you eat that meat? But we don't want to cause other people to offend. If they think it's wrong to eat meat, here's the vegetables. You know, I'll eat the meat, you eat the vegetables, right? Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Don't look down on other people because they have these foibles about what they eat or don't eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. So the person who says, hey, I eat meat, well, okay, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. I don't think I should eat meat. Well, but don't judge the other person for eating meat. You got it? Back goes both ways. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll make him to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Now he talks about days. Some people think, oh, you got to do this on a certain day. Oh, you can't do this on another day. Oh, you can only do this on another day. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every person be fully convinced in his own mind. Don't get all caught up in that. Oh, yeah, well, no, yeah. I think I told you that story. One day I was walking across the road with a broom, and it was on a Sunday, and somebody let me know about it. You were carrying a broom on Sunday, working on Sunday, right? I said, yes, I was. I went and got, there was no broom at my house. I went across the road to get a broom from there, and I swept the floor, too. A minister swept the floor on Sunday. What's that? Yeah, that's it. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. Eat, don't eat, do this on a certain day, don't do that on another day. Don't be getting all tied up in knots about it. You see what can begin to happen? What can begin to happen, and it has happened in churches over the centuries, churches begin to bring in more rules about what you can and can't do. Oh, you can't eat meat on Friday. Yes. Oh, that's a big one, right? Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. It was a sin to eat meat on Friday, right? So let's say somebody who believes that very strongly, and they came out of a culture where you could not eat meat on Friday. So then they become a Christian. But even though they became a Christian, they see other people eating meat on Friday. Ooh, they could never do that. So, doesn't matter. They don't eat it, they don't eat it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to try and say, oh, you better, oh, let's sit them down, let's shove some meat down his throat on a Friday, we'll fix them, right? We don't have to do that. Let them be. It doesn't matter whether they eat meat on Friday or don't eat meat on Friday, it's not going to make any difference for their soul, is it? No, it's not going to make anybody holy or unholy. It's not. So respect other people. Let them go about their business in these things and don't get all tied up in those knots about that. Religion is not made up. Christianity is not made up of rules and regulations such as that. We know we're to avoid things that are sinful and destructive. That's plain and clear. But this has nothing to do with that. For none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. It's all about the Lord. It's all about walking with God. It's not about these kinds of things. So why judge your brother? Why would you show contempt for him? For we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will confess to God. So each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. Resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in another brother's way. Same theme, isn't it? He said before. For I know, and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If your brother's grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Because here's the truth. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I love this verse. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. If you serve Christ in these things, what are the things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Go for that. Don't get tangled up in all the regulations that people impose on one another. Instead, if you do this, you'll be acceptable to God and approved by men. God will see it, and people will notice someone who's living in righteousness and peace and joy. There's something different about a Christian that's walking with God. It's real. And I'm sure somewhere, somehow, you've seen that, at least in one Christian's face in your whole life, that there's a difference when people walk with God. So let's pursue the things that make for peace, and where we may build one another up, not tear one another down. Don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed are pure, but it's evil for the man who eats with offense. It's good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything which where a brother stumbles or is offended by it is made weak. If you have faith, have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith, because whatever is not of faith is sin. If I'm convinced in my mind that it's wrong to do something, even if it's not wrong to do it, but if I'm convinced in my mind that it's wrong and I go and do it, my conscience is going to be damaged. Does that make sense? My conscience is going to be damaged because...
You think it's sin?
Yes, and if I go and do it, then I'm going to feel guilty. And it's going to affect my conscience, it's going to affect my walk, it's going to affect my life. So be gracious. Be so gracious and kind to one another. Paul's writing to them. They're quabbling over these things. Paul says, listen, here's the real deal here. The real thing is forgive one another, love one another. Don't be judging one another on these issues. Seek to do what is right. Avoid sin. Avoid that which will cause destruction and misery in other people's lives. So be the example that will be a blessing to the people that are around you. Amen. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay.